Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Bring you into Hockey Central on this Memorial Day, Victoria Day.
It's not Memorial Day?
Next week. Oh, next week's Memorial Day. So it's no holiday in the States today?
No, they're working hard. Or hardly working.
Why don't we coordinate it?
Because we're Canadian and they're American. Why don't we go metric and they go imperial? I
mean, but other holidays we coordinate.
Not Thanksgiving.
Actually, we're 0 for 2 so far. Not President's Day. Mm-hmm. We don't have a president.
We don't have a president.
But we
not July 1st.
We
don't
have a prime minister.
Not July 1st. Actually, we just Christmas
and New Year's.
Christmas, New Year's,
Easter. We get those days. We get those days.
That's right.
I always thought Memorial Day and Victoria Day were on the same day.
No, they're always a week apart.
Hmm. Indy 500 Memorial Day. Yeah.
Hey, the very Canadian Indy 500.
We'll get to that in just a minute. What a turnaround.
Why?
Much like the turnaround.
We're going to talk more about the Indy 500?
Yeah. Okay. Because I have a theory on that.
Oh, my God.
Darren Millard, along with John Shannon and our good friend Gord Stellick, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, turnarounds in the Stanley Cup playoffs in these conference finals, when you got every indication, I fell into this thinking that it was going to be a very quick work for the Pittsburgh Penguins and the San Jose Sharks. Instead, both series have turned around dramatically. Incredibly beneficial to the Tampa Bay Lightning after their victory last night in overtime.
Well, first of all, you think about it. There's a reason they got to the Final Four. So you're right. It was gloom and doom, partly because both third games were not that impressive. And especially in St. Louis's case, they very easily could have been down 3-0. So in the world of few teams and over-punditing, which is what we do, and you start slicing and dicing and dissecting it all, and lo and behold, both teams showed why they made it to the Final Four. And it made a real interesting series about it. And all of a sudden, in some ways, particularly obviously in the Tampa-Pittsburgh series, it's done a 180. Even though both games were one-goal differentials, one was an overtime and one, but I looked at it more. Now you're talking about Pittsburgh blowing a lead after two periods for the first time all season when they were 46-0.
A couple times in the series, they've blown 2-0 leads.
Variables like that, and also now they have, they're the only team with somewhat of a goaltending question for the next game, which could be their final game.
Yeah, you had to like what Tampa did by shortening their bench, really going with 9 or 10 forwards at a time, using everybody to using all their stars as much as they could. Like Kucherov, over 21 minutes. Boy, was he good last night. They just put the pedal to the metal all night long, and they were relentless on how they, you know, when they were down 2, when they were down 1 with the late second period goal by the Penguins, they never gave up. That to me was the biggest part of what was impressive about everything that Tampa did last night.
The Pittsburgh Penguins and the St. Louis Blues both made goalie changes on the weekend. It worked for the Blues. It backfired for the Pittsburgh Penguins when it comes to a result point of view. This is a scenario where it's the first time since 1980 where all four teams in the conference final have played both goaltenders. Pittsburgh's case, it's 3. Send me your guesses from 1980, who the four teams were, and we'll give you the answer a little bit later in the show at Darren Millard with one arm, and we'll also give you the 8 goaltenders that played in 1980. But when
what did they win?
Just satisfaction. And tell me if you believe that Victoria Day and Memorial Day are the same day.
Of course they're not.
Victoria Day is named after a queen. Victoria Day and Memorial Day is a different honor.
A different honor.
Well, they're not honoring. They're not part of the monarchy, right?
Different. No.
It's a
they used
paying
to be.
Tribute to.
They used to be, but they left.
Yeah. There's a couple of battles over that, too. So if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, how confident are you? If Jenny Malkin comes out today and says they are going back to Pittsburgh, basically guarantees a win. Chris Letang, who was -4 last night, says they figured out the secret. They have the secret on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I get the feeling, Gordy, that they're trying harder to convince themselves than they are everybody else.
And Trevor Daley out. That's a big loss. He was the number two guy minutes. Talking to Rob Rossi in Pittsburgh as well, he called out Malkin, Letang, and Crosby for after the game disappearing.
So who cares?
Well,
who cares?
But in the playoffs, like he said, I don't care as a media member. Okay, it's not like I felt slighted. He's saying you got Marc-Andre Fleury and some kids dealing with it rather than those guys coming out saying those things about we're going to, but they're supposed to come out. The big guns are supposed to talk.
Well, Malkin talked today. I mean,
game. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Like, if I'm really ticked off, I'm going to go out there and say something stupid. I'm better off not saying anything.
No, but it's part of the job.
No, it's not. No,
it is part of the job. It's part of the expectation of the job.
I mean, those guys talked yesterday morning. They talked again today. They'll talk tomorrow morning. It's not just supply and demand every time. I tell you what.
Well, it could be.
I do think what they have to do is they have to perform tomorrow night.
Well, no question about that.
I have no sympathy for media guys that get on the radio and whine that they couldn't get their quotes.
It's not about the guy whining about his own thing. I'm saying I think years ago when Colorado lost to New Jersey, and I think it was Sakic, Patrick Waugh, and whoever, and the three of them sat there with an eerie calm and confidence that things would be okay. Maybe it was Borkshire. I don't know. They came back. I don't care. It's not my problem.
No, I'm not talking about you.
I'm talking about
Rob who complained about it. Rob's got another agenda too. He needs quotes for his newspaper.
Well,
he needs quotes for his newspaper.
They got quotes from Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, that's great.
I'm just saying, like, the goaltender's had a tough one and he's out there facing alone.
Well, nobody should ever criticize Sidney Crosby for not being available. Sidney Crosby is available 99% of the time. And so the one night he decides, you know what? I'm embarrassed. I'm ticked off. I'm not going to do it. I find that criticism self-serving, completely self-serving.
Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down about it. I just think the point being is they better come out.
Agreed.
And do it on the ice because you let your goaltender hang out to be the guy who's answering and Marc-Andre Fleury took more blows after that than some of the goals that were let in during the course of the game. So anyway, it's going to be interesting and intriguing
to
see.
What does Mike Sullivan do?
Well, this is as far as the goalie goes?
Yes.
I think the deal's done.
You think I'd say go with Matt Murray.
What's that answer? Decision tomorrow. What's that?
Decision tomorrow. Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
He said this morning he'll make a decision tomorrow.
There's producer
but
Matt.
Shanny's got a poll.
I do actually.
On Twitter?
On Twitter. I think that when they decided to play Fleury in game five, they've made a decision that he's the goalie the rest of the way. I really believe that.
I've heard a lot of people say that once you did that, and that's why there were different motives in the goaltending change. Like in St. Louis's case, I mean, Jake Allen really was their guy earlier in the season, and he was looking just to shake things up and say, we haven't played very well. We're just trying different things. In this case, Marc-Andre Fleury had been their guy, and since the word go, they were going to seemingly get back to him first opportunity when he was healthy, and that precipitated that change. Are you looking at the poll?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And
so
what's the results?
It's been up for about 2.5 hours.
How many votes?
Over 2,000 votes. 80% of the votes are for Matt Murray. But I truly think once Mike Sullivan and his staff and Sullivan has been very, very well, transparent's not the word because he's got great coach speak. But at least he's been thorough in his explanation of how they made the decision internally and the discussion that they had on the coaching staff and it sounds like maybe a couple of players that for me that they've made their bed and that this is now back
Fleury?
Being the number to being Marc-Andre Fleury's
name. Yeah, you know what? If you go to Fleury, you expect that there might be a speed wobble the first game back.
What did you think of his goaltending last night?
I too many first shots.
Yeah, too many rebounds, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think a rebound was good compared to a couple of pucks that beat him.
But they are two different questions. If you ask me who I would start would be Murray. Who I think they will start would be Fleury. So I agree with you.
You're a hockey rapper today.
Even though you would have played Fleury in game five?
No. No, I would have held that card one more game, okay? And I'm not saying that, you know.
That's a tough one to put in. If you hold it for one more game, that means you're putting him in an elimination game.
I know.
If you go to Marc-Andre Fleury the way they did in game five, you're willing to give him game six unless he completely sticks out
the
joint.
At that point, you're turning it over to him. And again, we're somewhat splitting hairs because there's so many other elements that are involved in a game.
Did he stink up the joint?
No, but he wasn't great.
Who are we talking about now?
I think what Jake Allen did is more the exception to the rule. When you're off this much and going into a game.
Again, go back to it. They blew a lead after two periods.
Murray did that too.
I know, but also
Matt Murray blew a two-goal lead.
Don't give up goals in the last minute of play. How about don't give up goals in the last second of play? And then you score one early in the second period as well. I mean, these are recipes for having it and getting, not cruise controls, maybe why it didn't happen. So, I mean, give the Tampa Bay Lightning full marks for coming back from that. But the Pittsburgh Penguins, including the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michael, in the audience.
What time's Panger coming on? Darren Pang's going to join us at 15. What would the late John Brophy do in this situation? Our condolences to the Brophy family, the former Toronto Maple Leaf head coach who worked under you, Gord Stellick, passing away early 80s. How would he handle this day and age of National Hockey League coaching?
With this medium, he was great with the media, loved being larger than life. He would be there with a post-game tirade, and you'd have to have... Now, first of all, when he swore, it was great English. It wasn't like... Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun has won an expletive-laden post-game thing from John Brophy that is so entertaining, and it's after a rare Leaf win. Okay, it's after a rare Leaf win. He was larger than life, lived life large, wore his heart and passion on his sleeve, at times to his detriment, could not understand why guys wouldn't do the same. Could not understand why other people wouldn't do whatever it took to win a game. He would do whatever it took. I don't even want to venture what he would do. I don't know. But what he could not understand that.
Only Scotty Bowman for professional wins.
That was where it was in the East Coast League and the American League. That was his best because when he got with guys making six-figure contracts and that's where he couldn't handle them the same way because it bothered him. His guys were the guys that would do anything, and so many of them, as you know, Shanny, made it to the NHL. And let's say, you know what? My year with Brophe with the Nova Scotia Voyageurs or my year with Brophe was a huge with the St. Catharines Saints and the Toronto organization was a huge growing in why I made it. So he was a smart guy. He was a real bright guy. His family was full of lawyers and judges, like had all these sisters and brothers. So I just loved him. But he would be out front and center. He would be deflecting the criticism to him.
Always.
So it would be about Brophe. Mm-hmm. He'd be backing his players, even though in the dressing room he'd carve him a new one, solely based on emotion. He'd be fun. He'd be fun in this playoffs. And he could pick, the other part I know him, but he could pick a phony a mile away. So and that was a neat part about him as well. He softened in his older age, right? You know, about everything came full circle. But what a wonderful, wonderful run with him as the coach and the battles he had with Jacques Demers, the Leaf Red Wing series, and what happened. So we need it. Every year you'd love a John Brophy in the playoffs.
You know, Gordy, you and I have been really fortunate. Most of our careers have been in the National Hockey League or around the National Hockey League. And I always admire the guys that have played in and coached in five different leagues and have done it for, in so many ways, the love of the game. And you could see that in your time with John, any other time we met John Brophy, it was for the love of the game that he was doing this. It wasn't for the money all the time.
Yeah.
It was just because he just had a passion for this game, how to play this game. And he also, I think in many ways, you talked about doing anything to win, but he put it in perspective because John coached hard, played hard, and away from the game had a really good time too.
And
that's the magic of, and that's what you're seeing today when you're reading notes from former teammates, former players, is that, you know, he was hockey. And what we remember hockey being about, you put John Brophy in that list of players.
And then to be associated with the Montreal Canadiens coaching their AHL team, and then with the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's like the kid realizing his dream. Now people talk in, you know, sound bites and pressure. Zero. Are you kidding me? I'm coaching in the NHL. Yeah. This is the greatest thing ever, and I am soaking in and loving every second of it.
Great perspective.
Great way to go about life that way. So never, you kidding? He complained 0 minutes that he was there, you know, and it was wonderful that way.
And he made a great impact. You talk about when he was in the American League particularly, he did make impact on a lot of players.
Yeah.
He did make players better so that they when they did get a chance to play in the NHL, they could reflect.
You know, and one thing with the St. Catharines Saints, he had a tough line of Val James, Kevin Maguire, Chris McRae. So little things like the old arena there, he would all of a sudden tell Val James about 45 minutes before the game, Val, take your shirt off and walk by the other team's dressing room and hang around there a bit. So that would be one of those things this guy who's built would just all of a sudden so all the guys coming out to do their sticks are looking and going, oh my God, I don't want to go near that guy.
You know, the Chicago Blackhawks did the same thing. I forget who the coach's name was, but he asked Darren Pang to walk by the Toronto Maple Leafs dressing room. Is that right, Darren Pang?
Well, that's right. They thought I was the stick boy and that I would clearly not intimidate them. You're right.
Did you ever cross paths with John Brophy?
Yeah, many times. I mean, Brophy was coach in Toronto when I, you know, in my brief NHL career, he was the coach for many of the times that I went into Toronto or Toronto came into Chicago. I was always very interested with Brophy. I think Gord, when you were there, I thought he was a real character. I thought he was a guy that I didn't know if he was a good coach or anything like that. But you know, at that time, we're not watching video and we don't see the games that often. I didn't know if they had a system or not. I just knew that when I saw him on the bench, he looked like an old school coach.
He was never watching video. As a matter of fact, the movie Platoon kept playing in his. That's what he kept watching on the VCR all the time.
What was he like as a coach, Gord?
To be honest, Darren, he would have been benefited modern days helping having modern day guys around breaking down video things. He was old school that way. And technically in the NHL, that was probably, if you had to say, a bit of a weakness in him that way. But as far as motivating and other things would be a strength. And you're right, Panger, that's right. We had to. Those battles back then, you were Chicago, he was the head coach, and he would love nothing better than be in Chicago Stadium or places like that.
Darren Pang is with us. So I want to play some sound. Darren Pang covering the St. Louis Blues and the San Jose Sharks. This is audio from Peter DeBoer following the St. Louis Blues-San Jose Sharks game in which the Blues came back and tied up the series. This, you talk about John Brophy and coach speak and being emotional and just playing different edges that you can from a coaching perspective with the media. This is Peter DeBoer following the loss.
I'm sure Hitch will tell you he made all kinds of great adjustments and every one of them worked tonight. Hats off to him.
That is a drop the mic moment, Darren Pang.
You know, I've been at all the press conferences and listening to it, but it seems like every time Pete DeBoer steps up to the podium, the writers will always refer to something that Hitch said. If you look at even the transcripts at the NHL, and by the way, the NHL does a great job. Those transcripts are great. You can not make it. Like, you could hypothetically be on the golf course and then come back and read them.
Oh, who would do that?
Hypothetically.
Who would do that?
John, you and I, we wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying hypothetically.
But there are people in our business that would.
They would, yeah, they would, and that's kind of cheating, but anyway. But every time there's a question, it's always like, well, Pete, Hitch said this. Pete, Hitch just was in here and he said this. And I think Pete's just quite frankly getting tired of the writers saying Hitch said this or Hitch said that. But here we, you know, the game's played with the players on the ice. The game has been played with many good adjustments in this series. Is there anybody out there that was really surprised that the Blues bounced back and played the way they played? No way.
Oh, I didn't expect that type of performance, Darren. I thought after game three, boy, San Jose had played so great for the first three games. I was slightly surprised.
But I guess my question is you look at percentages. In game one, San Jose had every right to win that game. They didn't. Special teams were the difference. The Blues special teams won the game. Penalty kill went 3-for-3 in the power play. I think went 1-for-2 or 1-for-3. And that's the difference. In game two and three, obviously, the Blues, Brian Elliott stopped everything he could. He couldn't score any goals for the team. And then, you know, you get into game three, and I'm thinking to myself, can the San Jose Sharks basically outplay the Blues four games in a row. And I said, no, not the way that the Blues have responded all year long, that they will dig down deep and find a second effort. I heard several of their players after the game, you know, really be critical of the way they played. And it was a, you know, this is why the Blues are where they're at, because they respond and they rebound and they challenge themselves. The best players, they get challenged. Vladdy Tarasenko hasn't done much on the score sheet, hasn't made many plays happen that way, but you could see that the word and the challenge was there, because he was, at the beginning of that hockey game, he set the tone with just back-checking, just coming back hard and doing what every forward does on that team. So I assume then that it would be a pretty good effort. And Martin Jones has been so great, and their team D in San Jose has been so great. I mean, eventually there's going to be a little bit of a slippage. There was, and the Blues took advantage of it.
Obviously, Jake Allen and what Allen has done in the last game and a bit are a story as well. Are you surprised that he played that well? And that's not a fair question, Darren, but his rebound control was, you know, near the top of his game, even though he hasn't played that much in the last month or so.
Do you know what, John? I think it's still fair to say. I think he, I thought he had a great command of the crease. It's a phrase I learned. I've been listening to Marty Brodeur now the last couple of years, and if there was a goalie that had total control of his crease, it would be Marty. And I just thought that Jake got to the top of his crease. He used his stick. He used his angles. Darren Millard, you know, in goalie vernacular, you're talking about just turning your hand over a little bit, pushing everything to the corner, making sure that the defenseman knew that there was going to be no loose change hanging around. He was sharp. He's been working really, really hard. You guys know Jim Corsi really well. Jimmy's as positive a goalie coach as you're going to find. He believes in a pyramid. He believes in trust. He believes in preparation. And maybe he's not overly technical, but he is a positive soul. And I think he's kept these goalies both fresh all year long. And I've been watching Jake in practice. For the last 2 weeks, he's just looked really sharp. He's toying with the shooters on the ice, fellas. And you know when you're watching the goalie toy with the shooters, you know that if they needed him, he'd be able to step in there. He made two good saves on Brent Burns late in the first period, one off the shoulder, one he made with his pad, and I just said, this guy's going to be a handful for the Sharks in this game, and he was. He was really good. But let's face it, the Blues scored goals where they didn't score goals for two games for Brian Elliott, so the change worked.
Yeah, and you know, guys, you look at guys like Brodziak getting Brower as well, getting two goals each. I am curious because it kind of quietly Backus and then Fabry both out of the game. I don't know if what kind of feeling or sense you have.
They're going to take the warm-up.
They're going to take the warm-up and go from there? Is that okay? But beyond that, okay, so you're leaving it at that, or do you have a feeling one way or another?
You know what, Gord, I have. I really felt like leaving that game that if it was a closer game, you would have at least seen Robbie Fabry in the game. If it was a closer game later on, I'm sure you would have seen David Backus. I'm not 100% sure on that. I think when David Backus went to behind the net on the Jori Lehterä second goal of the game, he went to hit Brent Burns.
Right.
And boy, oh boy, those are two big boys, two Mack trucks. And it was David Backus that went to initiate the hit. And it looked to me like the shoulder pad of Brent Burns, kind of putting himself in a defending mode, just clipped him right on the button. Because I think he might have played a half a shift after that, and that was all she wrote. But for Robbie Fabry, I think that if the game got closer, I think he could have got into the game. But once it was 4-0, I think the coaching staff made a great call to say, no need. We'll play Brodziak a lot more. Brodziak played terrific, played almost 15 minutes, and was a real factor in the game. And so was Dmitri Yashin, that played almost 10, and Magnus Kärjärvi. So, my best guess is that they're all players for the game tonight, but obviously we'll find out after warm-up.
From Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, he is Darren Pang, Darren Millard, along with John Shannon and Gord Stelic. It used to be that you had to have your number one goaltender basically on crutches before you'd ever put the backup goaltender in. And if you had to do that, the series was over. Yet we're seeing teams' backups step up in the case of injury and coaches not afraid to make goaltending changes in these Stanley Cup playoffs. What's changed, I guess, is the biggest question.
The quality of the athlete that's in net, the competition, the structure, the technique, the goalie coaches, they all have them in the off season. They come to their NHL teams, they've got them there, they've got video. anytime they want it. They've got extra work on the ice anytime they want it. I think it's more like a PGA Tour pro. They all look the same. They all have the same swing. These goaltenders have perfected the position. I think in our day, I was thinking back to a time Montreal Canadiens were my favorite team. And remember when Steve Penny got on that great role?
Yep.
What was that, maybe 82 or 83, something like that. And once he ran out of gas, there was no hope, it seemed. Like now, Pittsburgh can go back to Matt Murray, and I wouldn't come out publicly and say, oh, well, that's it for Pittsburgh. I would say, well, he could win a game on his own. He's proven that he can win a game 1-0 or 2-0. Or, you know, Jake Allen could lose the game tonight. They can go back to Brian Elliott, you know, for game six. And I wouldn't hesitate to say, well, Brian Elliott could stand on his head and win this game. These guys are so mentally strong. They don't let things bother them. They're certainly not like me. They don't throw up before every game. These guys are all even-keeled guys. They could have a conversation, honestly, 20 minutes before a game if you wanted to, and they'd be fine with it. It's just a different breed of I think, mentality between the pipes.
But could you imagine telling Patrick Waugh, you've lost back-to-back games, we're going to go to somebody else for game five?
Oh, could you imagine that locker room when that decision got made?
Yeah.
but in fairness to the situation in St. Louis, it isn't a one and a two. I mean, it's no. They're over the season. We saw both Elliott and Allen get on streaks, and whether it be because they were hot or because the other guy was hurt. And I mean, the St. Louis scenario is a lot closer to what happens in Dallas than what happens, say, with a one and a backup. Jake Allen's the number one goalie most of the season at times.
Yeah, you're right. When, you know, Jake started and he was on fire, hurt his knee. Brian comes in. Brian gets on a roll. Brian gets banged up. Jake comes in. I mean, yeah, you're right. They both played over 40 games. Brian Elliott, if he didn't, did he leave the league in save percentage? I think he did. So a little different than the Dallas goalies, where they were trending right around 905 to, you know, 907 save percentage. I mean, Brian Elliott's save percentage was right around like 928. Just an incredible numbers. There's confidence in both. They, you know what, guys, they like each other, but they're competitive. They say the right things. I've been really impressed with how these goalies have checked their egos at the door. If one of them were pouting, it would really drag the team down because they're so well-liked. But neither one of these guys have pouted. Marc-Andre Fleury never pouted. He supported Matt Murray. I think these guys are full of character, and that's why I admire them so much.
Where do you check the ego at the door? Like, is there a closet there? Because we don't have one. We don't have one of those closets.
Wait a second. I've seen Doug McLean. He checks it at the door.
No. He checks you at the door.
Yes, he does.
He checks everybody else's ego.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a good point. It's an old Olympic, isn't it? A real Canadian Olympic hockey term that... started with, Gretzky and Yzerman. They've used it along the way, and the next set of managers, I'm sure Doug Armstrong will be using that as well. That I one time didn't play, and I had a little bit of a pout on. A good teammate has the ability to tell you to wake up. That good teammate, Doug Wilson was the guy, took me aside and said, like, snap out of it here. We need you. We need your personality. We don't need you dragging us down. We all feel bad for you, but let's get on here. We're a team. And wow, what a great eye-opener that was. And he said it the right way, and I took it the right way, and things changed, and I'll never forget that.
San Jose, St. Louis playing Game 5 tonight with a series tied up at 2. MasterCard Memorial Cup, Brandon against London. London trying to aim for a spot, guaranteeing themselves a position in the semifinal. Brandon looking for their first win in 2 starts. First time since 1980, Darren, that we have all 4 teams in the conference finals, or the third round, Stanley Cup semifinals, in the case of 1980, where all 4 teams have played 2 goaltenders. I'm going to give you the teams, guys. Can you name the goaltenders? Buffalo, 1980, made the Stanley Cup semifinals.
Don Edwards.
Okay.
And somebody else.
Bob Sauvé.
Oh, Pang and John Shannon both chime in. Minnesota.
Don Beaupre.
No.
Gilles Meloche.
Yes.
All right.
This might be the toughest one.
Kari Taco.
No. I loved his white pads.
I know.
Gary Edwards.
Oh,
Gary
gosh.
Edwards.
Yeah.
Cobra.
Oh, wow.
New York Islanders.
Well, Chico and Billy.
Yeah. And the Philadelphia Flyers.
Pete Peters.
Yes.
And Wayne Stevenson.
Nope.
Pete Peters. Bernie Perrant's gone then, right?
Yep.
Okay, I knew that. Panger?
Wow. I had Wayne Stevenson right in my head.
Phil now. Meir.
Phil Meir.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Gosh. Ah, the great Phil Meir.
Yes. Remember him throwing a stick down the stairs at Chicago Stadium?
Easy to do because there were stairs at either end.
And just being furious. What were those? Come in, how many stairs? 34, 35?
24.
24. You'd be 24. Exhausted.
I fell down them one time.
Did you?
I fell right down there. It was in practice, and Jeremy Roenick took the next step. He looked down, and little number 40s, way, way down below.
Sorry for laughing.
Hey, Panger, who was the guy that coined the phrase, like, when you were the number 3 goalie, about how you guys traveled?
That was a Bob Mud Murdoch.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him about traveling 3 goals. The goaltender, he said, well, Mr. Wirtz doesn't have to worry about expenses. Murray Bannerman gets one bed, Bob Mason gets the other, and Pang gets the top drawer.
All the years I've spent with you, I've never heard that
Bob
story.
Murdoch.
That was in like Sports Illustrated, one of those things, and it was true.
That's
and guys, and teams would care about money then. You had to double up in rooms. Yeah. So
who advances to the Stanley Cup final? Because it will be determined. Well,
hold on. We got to ask him the poll question.
Oh, who would you start in goal for the Pittsburgh Penguins? Shanny has a
Twitter poll. Twitter better poll vote at Panger. Better vote.
I would start Matt Murray.
80% going that. Yeah. Jeff Zadkov has 3 write-in votes. But
all from the Zadkov family.
I don't think he's in play right now.
No.
Marv Edwards has 2.
Yeah, he's got a victory, though, for them. Thanks for doing this. Who's your Stanley Cup final?
Wow.
St. Louis against 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Tampa Bay.
Boy, it's amazing what they've been able to do.
Tell you what, that'll be an interesting one for you, Panger.
Oh, you're right.
It's really all about the golf, isn't it?
Yeah. Steve Yzerman against the St. Louis Blues.
Oh, baby.
Before you go, Ken Hitchcock was asked about the verbal jousting with Peter DeBoer this morning, whether or not he enjoys it, and his answer was yes.
Well, I'm shocked.
It's John Cooper might be an interesting go around as well. Darren, always great catching up with you. Enjoy both the Stanley Cup playoffs and the MasterCard Memorial Cup on the NHL Network.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a great day.
There's Darren Robert Pang from Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. San Jose, St. Louis, 8 o'clock on CBC. Game 5, MasterCard Memorial Cup. The Brandon Wheat Kings against the London Knights, 8 o'clock.
Ooh, if you're a Flyer fan, you get a chance to look at Ivan Provorov.
He made the pass on the John Quenneville goal that you've seen replayed over and over and over again.
And Mitch Marner, Christian Dvorak. Well, they're a machine right now, aren't they?
And Quenneville, a New Jersey Devil property, and that was the first round pick they gave back to them.
Yeah, explain that story, okay?
Because they it got stripped of a pick because of the Kovalchuk contract
situation. Yeah.
And then when the new ownership came on board. And they were trying to make nice, and they were annoyed they weren't going to get a first-round pick. All of a sudden, Ida came. Okay, it's been decided the New Jersey Devils will pick 30th overall, game, set, match.
Normally reserved for the Stanley Cup champion.
That's correct. But the new owners negotiated that in, so 30th overall. Seems like they made a real good pick.
Jake DeBrusk is going to join us from the Red Deer Rebels in just a little bit. They came off a big win last night to even their record at 1-1 when it looked like things were going sideways, actually south in a real big hurry for them. We'll get his opinion on the John Quenneville play, whether or not, and Jake's a talented, skilled guy, whether or not he would have tried something like that on the biggest stage in major junior hockey, plus more on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We had another national championship decided on the weekend and the world championship. Congratulations to Team Canada. Sidney Crosby, known for the golden goal. Connor McDavid stepped up and did the same thing on the world championship level. It's Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet app, and the NHL Network.
A podcast that casts a wide net across the internet of sports. The Andrew Walker Show. Subscribe in iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon continues. Darren Millard on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, the Sportsnet app.
What, you're not going to mention
NHL
us?
Network,
you're mentioning us?
Along with... I will get to you.
Darren Millard.
Gordy Stellick.
John Shannon.
Congratulations to West Kelowna winning the RBC Cup yesterday. They beat the Lloydminster Bobcats 4-0. Now, is Lloydminster, was that the Alberta side or the Saskatchewan side?
Where's the arena?
This is important. They play in the AJHL. But Flin Flon plays in the SJHL, and they're actually in Manitoba. So this is important because I want to know where West Kelowna is.
It's across the lake. Across the lake. You wave at the Ogopogo. You drive up the hill. You go around the corner, and it's there somewhere.
They're the first ever RBC champions to be ranked outside the top 20.
They have a nice facility. I was there for Kraft Hockeyville.
Tell you what,
one of the five finalists.
That'll make our pal Bruce Hamilton a little green with envy across the lake. You know, the Rockets didn't win anything.
Talk about the MasterCard Memorial Cup, and MasterCard is raising $100,000 together for Fort McMurray. It's a goal that everyone can feel good about. Give today, and MasterCard will match any donation made at redcross.ca/MasterCard, raising $100,000 together for Fort McMurray. The MasterCard Memorial Cup hits the midway mark of the round-robin portion. Entering the tournament tonight was circled as the most anticipated round-robin game. Brandon against London, the Western Hockey League champions against the OHL champions. Two very different openers. The London Knights storming past the Red Deer Rebels. 5 points by Mitch Marner. He was incredible in that game. Christian Dvorak also had 5 points.
Christian Dvorak was very good.
And the Brandon Wheat Kings.
Actually, you know who was really good? Parsons was very good. This kid.
The goaltender.
He's going to raise a few eyebrows at the draft because he was calm and cool and succinct all night long. He was very good.
And Brandon got off to a great start against Rouyn-Noranda, then allowed 5 straight goals and controlled the third period. They were dynamic, scored the goal of the tournament, even though there's so much left to play with John Quenneville. And you read all the press and the highlights afterwards, and you think Brandon would have won that game.
Yeah.
And instead they lost 5-3. So a big game tonight on Sportsnet. Brandon against London, MasterCard Memorial Cup. The London Knights going for a 2-0 start. The Brandon Wheat Kings looking for their first victory. If they win tonight, all four teams will be 1-1.
You know what that means?
Tiebreaker.
There's a game Thursday.
but it's very odd that all four teams will be 1-1. Here's Jake DeBrusk, and he plays for the Red Deer Rebels. Winner last night, 3-point night for Jake. You were down 2-0, and then Pup calls a timeout, Brent Sutter. And it was a very one-sided conversation. How much of what was said and how close were you to that offering from Brent Sutter, were you?
Yeah, you know, Brent just came in and just told us, you know, play our game. You'll play, you know, our system and stick with it. And, you know, that we're going to get chances and things like that. And just to be calm. And, you know, we knew that, you know, if we stayed the course, we'd get chances over the game. It was pretty early in the game. It was about 10 minutes in, and, you know, we're down 2. And, you know, you can get a little bit, you know, antsy around that time. But he just said, hey, stay calm. You know, stay the course. And it was just like talking about chipping pucks in and things like that. And it really worked for our favor.
I didn't hear him once say stay calm or read his lips and him saying stay calm.
Nor did he say it in that tone, Jake. So don't lie to us, okay?
Well, that's how I took it anyway.
Hey, for the tournament, it's almost like going back to your roots when you play in tournaments as kids, and then you get where it's all 4 out of 7s or whatever it may be, playoff series. So mindset-wise, how do you handle it? I know you play one game at a time, but like mindset-wise, how do you handle something unique like this?
Yeah, it's pretty unique. You know, it's we haven't played a tournament since probably, I guess, midget and things like that. But, you know, you got to take it game by game, and, you know, every game is game 7. And try to stay as even keel as possible and not get too high, not get too low. And, you know, I thought we did a great job of that, you know, against London. You know, we're pretty disappointed with how that game went. You know, they're a really good team, credit to them. But, you know what, we bounced back well against, you know, the Q and got a win.
How difficult was that first game on the Friday night when you consider you guys were off for almost 20 days?
Yeah, I really liked our start in that first game, you know, especially in the first 10 minutes. You know, everyone was asking about the rustiness and things like that, and then it was hard to get into it. It was really hard just to kind of get in your, you know, groove and sink. And, you know, London took it to us, and, you know, I thought we played well in the first 10 minutes, but As soon as, you know, they started getting rolling, it was, you know, really hard to stop, and we couldn't do it that night.
Jake DeBrusque is with us of the Red Deer Rebels, 1-1 at the 2016 MasterCard Memorial Cup, chatting with Darren Millard, John Shannon, and Gord Stellick here on Hockey Central at noon. It's an off day for the Red Deer Rebels, so we thank Jake for joining us. We have a cast probably of 55, 60 people there covering this tournament, broadcasting this tournament. How many people have come up to you and tried to just get your ears, suck up to you a little bit by saying, hey, you know what, I work with your dad. He's a really good guy. There's been the odd guy, right?
I don't know if that's necessarily sucking up, but I've heard lots of stories and lots of things about my dad being at this tournament, even especially because he played for London. So that was kind of cool, the connections there, and just from the London press. And there's lots of people that come up, and it's cool. You know, I like it, and the other players here are really enjoying the tournament so far. It's, you know, one of a kind. It's the master, you know, Card Memorial Cup, so it's really cool to be here and just really happy, you know, to keep going.
Now, your dad works for us both on the Hockey Central panel and on Oilers games. When he talks to you about your games, does he talk to you like a dad, as a fan, or as an analyst?
I would say probably dad first and then analyst second. And then fan third. you know, he's pretty, not necessarily critical, but you know, he's pretty analytical when we talk about, you know, my game, I guess to say, when he gives me tips. But, you know, those tips really help me. You know, it's really nice to have that on my side, and really lucky to have him there. And, you know, whenever, you know, I need something, or even, you know, before games, he always gives me little tips and things to focus on during the game. And it really helps me. And, you know, it's been helping me lately, and I'm really happy to have him in my corner.
Well, hold on now. Let's call a spade a shovel here. The most important person in your hockey life is your mom, and she's as passionate about this game as your dad is. How much do you listen to your mom after a game?
That's a tough question. No, I'm kidding. No, she, like you said, she's really passionate about the game, and you know, I listen to her too. I listen to her too as well, and you know, I think I would honestly listen to my dad a little more, to be honest, but my mom's really passionate about the game. You know, she loves the game, and she just really wants, you know, our team and myself to do well. So, you know, it's always nice to see her after a win, that's for sure.
We're with Jake DeBrusque chatting with us about the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Last year, you were going in your draft year, your first-round pick of Boston, and there was a lot of pressure on you on that side of things. How different was this year to last year in expectations and performance?
Oh, it was very different. You know, going to Swift Current, I guess, to start the year, you know, it was, you know, the team and just the expectations for myself. You know, I had to play well, you know, put up points for a team to do well, and things like that, and just kind of had the pressure of, you know, being the guy that had to score, you know, from the majority of the time, or, you know, put up points. And then, you know, ever since the deal here, you know, the pressure, I guess, was for now. And when I first got dealt here, you know, that's why, you know, they dealt me, as, you know, for tournaments like this and for scenarios like this. And it's still a little bit of a different pressure, but I love the pressure. You know, it's you know, get drives me as a player and as a person, and you know, I put more pressure on myself than you know, usual. But it's really nice to have a game like I did, you know, last night and things like that. But you know, just gotta take it with what it is. You know, it's a short tournament, and you know, gotta bounce back the right way.
We gotta fly here, but before we go, John Quenneville with the great goal on the weekend. Would you have tried that move in that situation, down three in the MasterCard Memorial Cup?
I'm pretty good buddies with JQ. You know, we play on the same Bantam team, and you know, we hang out a lot during the summertime. And I wasn't surprised when he scored the goal. You know, he's got that confidence and he's got that edge. I was unreal. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, and just kind of laughed. You know, it was good. Nice to see you know, a buddy score like that. But yeah, that was crazy. You know, what a goal.
Looking forward to your matchup, the All-WHL game, to wrap up the round robin. Before we get to that, it's Brandon against London tonight, and you guys have a great game tomorrow night as well against London. Good luck. Keep it up.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Jake DeBrusque from the Red Deer Rebels.
Oh, boy. I think he talks better than his dad.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree there.
You know, I'm worried about it. We could have a father-son TV analyst panel. Scary. That's not good for some of us.
Did his mom ever ask why he scored more goals in one season than his dad did in his whole career?
His mom could get away with asking that.
Yeah, would you ask that?
He's not here, right?
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I just did.
Louis out hunting.
Gone for the summer.
Louis probably out hunting today.
Has there ever been a father-son panel of any kind?
Bill and Foster.
Yeah?
Bill and Foster Hewitt. That's it.
As ex-players,
well, set the bar high there.
Yeah, as ex-players, that's
incredible.
A good
one. You don't want to follow up.
Bobby and Brett have done it, not at the same time.
Stanley Cup playoffs, San Jose, St. Louis, 8 o'clock on CBC, MasterCard Memorial Cup, Brandon against London. Big one tonight, league champions on Sportsnet. Enjoy the hockey.